Hey guys, this is Jennifer with the Shooter's Mindset, and we are live with episode 435. We have our co-hosts tonight. It's hard to find them in all of the lots of pictures. And our co-host Corey, how's it going?
Pretty good. Shot some steel challenge this weekend. So that's one match, Jen. One match.
Okay, well, I feel better because last weekend you had not done any, and I was very concerned about you. Thought I was gonna have to call you an ambulance or something. Our other co-host, Greg, how's it going?
It's going pretty good. I'll go ahead and give it to Corey. He did beat me last weekend by shooting a match. All I did was go to the pistol range with my dad, but that was fun.
That's good too.
Good times, good
Yeah.
times. All right, and we have a full panel tonight. So I'm going to introduce everybody and then I'll go one by one and let y'all introduce yourselves. But this week we're going to talk all about the NRL 22 championships, the national championship this year. So we've got Dominic Thompson, Levi Sanderson, Ruth Soucy, and Justin Carbone. How's it going?
Good.
Good.
All right. We're
Going
just
good.
going to go one by one. And I want everybody to tell us a little about yourself, your shooting self, how you got into shooting, kind of what you shoot, and then tell us what your involvement is with NRL 22 so that anybody that doesn't know you can know what you do. We will start with Dominic.
Hey everybody, I'm Dominic. I got into shooting competition back in 2018, shooting mainly center fire, or 2017, one of the two, I don't remember. In 2018, a buddy of mine, Clark, he actually got me into NRL 22, and it was honestly just a cheap way of us, still shooting rifles and alternate position type things, and just a cheap alternative to center fire. And ever since then, I was pretty much hooked. Moved up here. I moved to Clarksville, Tennessee back in 2019 when the Army moved me up here and started my own NRL 22 club. Been hosting matches every month since then in an annual NRL 22X match. During my time shooting NRL 22 and hosting matches, I've actually been working in the NRL 22, and now, myself and Levi, we are the co-directors of match operations for the entire NRL 22.
So, I mean, just a small job. It's not much
Yeah,
money.
we do it for the love of the sport.
That's how most people do it. I don't think anybody does this for the money.
No, not at all.
Yeah, everybody, but pretty much everybody that's in this sport loves it. So it's great because lots of people help out. So. All right, how about Levi? We'll let you go next.
Absolutely. Evening, everybody. My name is Levi Sanderson. I am also the co-director of match operations of NRL 22 with Dominic. I got into shooting. I grew up in South Dakota, so I just, was always out on the farm, like just shooting stuff with the 22. And so that was kind of my first love. And we were hunting and doing all kinds of different things. And but in 2005, I moved to Nashville. And after being here a couple of years, I found there was a pretty healthy competitive shooting sports community. And so I got into pistol shooting sports. I never did much of that before. So I did that for quite a few years. And I would just shoot whatever was available, IDPA, USPA, Steel Challenge, whatever it was. And then I found a little match in south of Tennessee that was said they were shooting NRL 22. And I had just bought myself a Ruger Precision rimfire, and so I started hitting those matches, and the sport kept growing, and Dominic started hosting a match, and then I started hosting a match, and then other people started hosting a match, and then I started doing more things, and all of a sudden they're like, "Hey, why don't you help out a little bit more?" And here we are, helping out on a very big way. So happy to be on here.
That's how it always happens, right? You just do a little bit and then it's like, oh, just come out and help us set up. You'll get a discount.
Yep. Slippery slope.
I won't be there Saturday. You just run the match.
All right.
Yeah, Levi, if you could go ahead and help out a little more than what you're doing now, that'd be great.
Yeah.
I'll work on it.
That's right. That's right. All right. So, Ruth and Justin, like, y'all are two people, but you're kind of like,
We're connected.
yeah, you're kind of like Ruthen. Ruth and Susan. So
Harboosie is what we go by.
That's
most
what
there you go. Harboosie. All right. So y'all take turns, or one of you speak for however you want to do.
I'll start, then I'll hand it off to Ruth. I was working at Federal back in like what would be like 2013, so about 10 years ago, and started shooting pistol leagues that we had local, kind of like Levi, IDPA, and then USPSA. So did that for a few years, and then kind of dabbled in the precision rifle stuff. And then kind of like everyone else here, as soon as we heard about, oh, there's a 22 version of that, everybody just got super excited because everybody had that gun in the back corner, like, oh, I bet that'd be a great gun for that sport, I'm gonna bring it out. And yeah, it kind of turned into match directing at the local range. And then Ruth and I met in 2019, and she started showing up, and then I would just hand her my gun and tell her what to dial, and she's cleaning stages. I'm like, oh, nice. And so she got into it too, and we started directing X matches as well. And so yeah, we're hosting the national championship this year.
Yeah. So, yep, basically like what Justin said, I think I went to nationals in 2019. It was 2019, right? So Justin made the nationals that year, and I was like, oh, you're in a national championship. Maybe I'll go check that out. So I went to Vegas just to watch, and then decided that, hey, maybe I could do that too. And then next month later, started shooting. So since then, you know, lots of big matches, lots of, now we have a whole business involved with the sport, so it kind of gets its little hooks in you.
So how many times has she beat you, Justin? I love that Ruth knows. She's like, that just means you're a good teacher.
Thank yeah. you.
Yes, perfect. Exactly.
Well,
and we had a discussion after the first time. He was a little salty after the first time I beat him, but ever since then, he's been good.
He's done better, huh? So for anybody that doesn't know, too, the shirt in the back there, both Ruth and Justin were on Team USA in Italy at the World Championship last August. So
it was a fun match.
It was fun.
Yeah, big props for that, and big honor to get to be on that team. You. I know. All right, so tonight is really, this show is to kind of fill everybody in on all the details for 2024 for the national championship. So Ruth and Justin, y'all have an events page that you put up this year. And I think Greg put that link in the description of the live show.
Yes, I just got it added in there. So if you're interested in this event, just go up to the description on Facebook. Somebody should probably remind me tomorrow when I upload it to the podcast and the YouTube to put it in there too.
And make sure it's in there. Mm-hmm. Well, but for anybody that is like me and too lazy to Google and just asks other people, why don't you kind of go through some of the details of the match, like the location, the dates, how much it costs, how do you, you know, if you want to go, what you do, and what kind of food is there going to be? Tell us all the good.
Everybody's favorite question.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this year it's going to be in Frederick, Wisconsin, small town Wisconsin, but it's only about 1 hour 40 minutes from the Minneapolis airport. So not too bad of a drive. It's like, 1 hour 20 away from Minneapolis. So lots of stuff to do in the area. The event page is where we're putting all of the pertinent information. So if you do plan on coming, there's rooms blocked in local towns. That's probably the biggest challenge with this range, is the location means that in the immediate area, like we'd like everyone to be able to stay within 20 to 30 minutes, there's limited hotels. So we booked and blocked pretty much every room within a 20 minute radius from the range. So that's going to be a challenge. If you haven't booked already, I'd do that soon. What else? It's going to be June 20th through the 23rd. And the 20th is the day that we're going to have the range officers shoot. So shooters, it'll be the 21st to the 23rd.
Yep. So a 4-day event. We really like having the range officers shoot the match. It gives them a chance to, you know, get their feet wet if they're new to it, or if they're a competitor and they have competitive spirit and they want to have a chance to shoot another match, it does that as well. So it kind of gives them an incentive to be a range officer, as well as, you know, gets them really up to speed on the match and the stages. So it's just kind of a really cool way to do it. So
yeah. We're going to have Friday, the 21st. If you're coming from out of town, even if you're coming from in town, plan on being at the range for as long as you can stand it on Friday, because we're gonna throw basically a carnival slash party slash dope gathering day. Side stages, dunk tank, what else, cotton candy, and we're gonna have food trucks there so that people don't have to, you know, worry about where to go get food. Water will be available all day long. Dominic is gonna be in the dunk tank, so I'm gonna post the times. Levi said he'd do a stint too, so I'll let you know what times they're signed up for closer to the event. But yeah, we're gonna have a good time.
A few more
how
things.
Much does the dunk tank cost? I need to make sure I bring enough ones.
It's gonna be what, $10 a play, and you get 3 to 5 rounds at a target.
At a target that's kind of hard to hit.
Are you gonna give us the win call for it?
Yeah.
Okay. Left edge.
I bet you Dom will.
Dom will tell people for sure.
Yeah, so a few more things. Ruth named a lot, but there's just so much with that day. So we're going to try to have, you know, as big of an expo as we can. So we're hoping to have like 20 different vendors there. So we'll have like a large tent as well as some individual vendor tents. Did you say live music?
I did not say
live music. So yeah, there'll be a band there later in the day, in the evening.
Yep. Ice cream truck will arrive later in the day too.
So yeah, they've got at this range, it's called Coyland Creek in Frederick, Wisconsin. It's a sporting clays range, and that place is pretty cool. They have like a store on site. They have like a little kind of like a beer garden area. So on Friday nights, they have live music every week. So we'll be utilizing that area so we can have kind of everything based around that, as well as just behind it can be a 50-yard zeroing line plus the side stages. So it kind of keeps everything in the same general area. And we're telling everyone that it will be kid friendly. So we're going to have like a bounce house. And then Ruth had a few other like face painting and
temporary tattoos
ideas and things like that. So I think that's everything. So yeah, we want to have everybody there if we can for as long as possible, just to kind of give it a party feel.
We've got 15 confirmed vendors right now and several that are just, you know, trying to iron out the last details. So bring your checkbooks and your credit cards and your positive attitudes and your sweet tooth and your dunk tank
accuracy.
That's right. And your money. So if somebody is at home and they're like, man, this sounds really cool, I want to go shoot this match, how can they?
So this one you have to qualify for. I don't know if Dom and Levi want to answer this one, because the invites for this are coming from the NRL 22 specifically. So as much as Justin and I would love to just open up the floodgates to anyone who wants to shoot, NRL 22, it's a qualifying match. You have to qualify for the match through the NRL 22, and they'll be the ones sending out the invites.
Yeah, thank you, Ruth. So in order for you to qualify for the NRL 22 National Championship, you have to be an NRL 22 member. That's the first step. If you want to get a qualification invite through the NRL 22 monthly matches, what we do is we're going to take your six highest monthly NRL 22 scores from 6 different months. And what we're going to be doing is based off participation, and Levi will be going more in depth on how the invites are going to be sent out. But we use the top 6 different monthly scores to determine who's going to get an invite. And then for NRL 22X, we use your top 3 scores from the NRL 22X series in order us to determine who gets an invite. I know somebody had asked on the NRL 22 Facebook page, you know, how can they attend matches and do they need to be a member? Local clubs, you don't need to be an NRL 22 member to attend. However, we highly encourage you to do it, because there are great benefits to being an NRL 22 member. Some of the things are, you know, you potentially could win some prizes from the live show, and you also qualify to attend nationals.
I've won both a suppressor and a set of really nice binoculars this year, and it wasn't from coming in first place, because I don't do that anymore. I taught some people how to shoot, and now they whoop my butt every match.
So So if they haven't done it for this year, if you want to be part of the fun next year, then make sure that you join and get a local club.
Oh, they can, honestly, there's still lots of match left where if you signed up today and you really went after those matches, especially in the NRL 22X series, you could actually join today and potentially have a very good chance of getting an invite to Nationals.
Yeah, we're opening up the match to 264 competitors. Our goal is to allow as many people as possible to participate this year. We've got some really amazing sponsors too. MCS is paying for a barbecue Saturday night. So once you're done shooting, you'll go immediately to get dinner. You can leave after that. You can hang out. We're going to have yard games and music, and Curtis Customs actually paid for beer kegs for Saturday night. And then Bushnell's paying for and root beer kegs, beer and root beer both. And then Bushnell's paying for kegs on Sunday at the banquet. So
as well as Bushnell's covering both lunches.
Yep, Saturday and Sunday.
Do we have the lunches ironed out yet or not quite?
We're close on the lunches. We're not 100%. But I will post the menus for people so that they'll know what to expect and they can plan if there's something that they don't like, or if they're, you know, someone who gets extra hungry. But we also put snack bags in your shooter packet, so you should have, you know, some little snacks. That's being sponsored by Bergara this year. So like I said, we have a lot of really awesome sponsors that have come on board to help us out and make sure that you guys are well fed and hydrated and having a good time.
I love that y'all do that, because you know how many matches I go to and then I'm like, oh man, I left my snacks at home. Or I'll say, oh, I'll never eat during a match, I'll be fine. And then like 2 o'clock, I'm like hangry and yelling and like, I need food. So I think that's great.
I've never forgot snacks. Like, I've forgot much other things, but I've never forgot snacks.
Priorities. Did you bring snacks to the range last week?
I didn't.
Oh, he didn't bring snacks or his gun to the range.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Good grief.
Did Ruth not go to take care of you?
Well, when it's your first time to the range in like 4 months, you know, you tend to forget a thing or two.
I was working. Some of us have jobs.
That is funny. Well, yeah, y'all have all that cold weather, so y'all probably do have an off season. Down here, we really don't.
This year was the warmest winter that anybody here alive remembers. It was just nuts. Never had to pull the snowblower out. Just had some really, like, we had a 69 degree day recently, and it's crazy.
It's weird.
Oh, it's cold up there.
Ice fishermen aren't happy.
They are not.
No. Nope. There was no season this year for that.
Yeah, the match, as Ruth said, is on the weekend of the, 21st, 22nd. So that's the summer solstice. So the days are really long up there. The sun will be up till probably 9:15 or 9:30. So the match is actually, this will be the very first rimfire match at this range. So it'll be really interesting. It's a sporting clays range, like I said. So we'll be kind of using the sporting clays trails or paths. So half of the stages will be facing west and half will be facing east. So I know that can be an issue if the sun's low, but the sun shouldn't be low at all during the match times because of the long days. So
it's awesome that you think about things like that, like little things that, you know, the match director's a shooter.
Yeah, we probably do a little too much, to be honest. There's a lot of things that I don't really care about that he's like all over, and there's a lot of things that he doesn't care about, like the snack bags, me, sun in your eyes, you know.
From a match director that's used snack bags before, they're awesome. So you guys talked about how to qualify for 22X and NRL 22, but how would an international shooter qualify? Because we did get a few questions about that.
Well, we have been getting a lot of questions about how do they know if they'll qualify for nationals and when will the invites go out? And I think that's probably what a lot of folks... Well, and I think that's what a lot of folks are probably tuning in to hear. So we probably need to jump into that for sure. So international, there is, according to the NRL 22 and NRL 22X rules, a certain percentage of the available spots to the national championship go to our international shooters. And, you know, Ruth stated earlier that there's 264 slots. So there's going to be about 119 slots going to NRL 22, 119 slots going to NRL 22X, and then another 26 spots going out to international. The international spots are divided out by our executive director of match operations, which is Tyler Frainer. So he deals with all the international clubs. So he's kind of their point of contact from, you know, they all reach into him and he asks them, you know, how many people they have would like to come. And then he divvies up those invites amongst the international folks. That process is pretty much hands off for us in the U.S. besides, you know, dividing it up amongst the different countries. Once it's given to the countries, they have their own series and their own championships that they're kind of trying to divvy those out amongst their shooters. So I can't answer that directly, but for NRL 22 and NRL 22X, we are going to be doing the invites in a little bit different way this year. Previously, it had always been the scenario where for the NRL 22 monthly side that match directors would get a survey and we'd ask, you know, how many people at your club are interested in going, and then we'd see how many slots there were and we would divvy those out based on, you know, kind of a, you know, club by club basis. This year, all the invites are going out based on the leaderboards, based on the scores and your performances throughout the season. The season is ongoing. The season actually ends on April 30th, which is about 6 weeks out from the national championship. So we know folks want to make plans. We know they want to get their invites. So we're actually going to begin giving invites out over the next couple of weeks here. We're actually going to start that process and we're going to start getting the invites sent out. Then we're going to go out in multiple phases. The first phase, which will begin soon here, we're going to go fairly deep on the NRL 22 side because, you know, 10 out of the 12 months of the NRL 22 season are over. And the scores on the NRL 22 side are pretty, you know, it's going to be hard to gain a lot of ground on the NRL 22 side. So we're going to go pretty deep on the NRL 22 side for the first phase. And then NRL 22X, we're going to send some out, but not quite as many on the X side because there's so many X matches left in the season so far. You only need three of those to get your X score. You get your top three X matches, and we've got like 15 X matches left right now. I think even on the last weekend of the month or the last weekend of the season, there's like six X matches across the country. So there's definitely a lot of opportunity left on the X side. So if you guys don't mind, I'm going to dig into how we're going to do the phases a little bit more. So this phase one, where we're going to invite folks down to a certain level, we're not sure how deep we're going to go, but like I said, we'll go a lot deeper on the NRL 22 side than we will on the X side. And during the first phase, if you get an invite, you'll get 72 hours to purchase your spot to the championship. After 72 hours, we're going to go ahead and start inviting more people, and we will keep sending out more and more batches during this first phase until we hit, you know, that certain threshold, which we don't know exactly how deep the threshold is going to go. But once we hit that threshold, we're going to pause the invites. We're going to temporarily close down registration until the end of the season. So that will draw a line in the sand. It'll do a couple of things. It'll get people invites earlier rather than later. It'll bring in, you know, some cash flow for the championship match directors. They've got a lot of expenses going out, so we're going to make sure that we're, you know, getting them some cash flow. And it's going to let folks be able to see the line in the sand. They're going to see, like, hey, those invites went down to, you know, 200th place in the leaderboard, and I've got, you know, this long I've got this many weeks left in the season or this many opportunities left in the season to try to get above that threshold so that maybe I can get an invite. So once we've shut down phase one, you will see that you'll see how far the invites went, and we think they'll go pretty deep, but you know, it's kind of unknown. So that's going to why we're going to help open that up and let everybody see how deep the invites will go. After the season ends, anybody that made it above that threshold, we're going to give them an opportunity to get an invite before phase one has the opportunity. If they didn't buy, if you got an invite in phase one and you didn't buy it, you're not going to get an opportunity again until anybody that made it above that threshold gets an opportunity to purchase. Once they did, and we've given those guys probably 24 to 48 hours, then we're going to open up all of phase one, all of phase two, and we're going to continue inviting every 24 hours. We're going to go deeper and deeper in the leaderboards until the match fills out. So because at that point, the season will be about 6 weeks out from the match. So we're going to try to get as many invites out as we can early. So we're still about 12 weeks, 3 months ahead of time. But when we get to the end of the season, they're going to go fast and furious. So if you get an invite, you better hop on it and buy it.
Gotcha. Okay.
And you don't want to miss this one.
Yeah. Lots of information there. I want to pause, see what kind of questions we got. And Corey's still trying
No. I think it's safe to say that the match is going to sell out. It's just a matter of when it sells out.
That's the goal.
Absolutely.
It's going to happen. Yeah.
We'd like this to be the largest Precision Rimfire event that the world has seen to date.
The world.
The world. We had one awesome international match now. We had a world championship. Now we can use world.
So a couple of questions came up and kind of the technical details. Greg Stewart wanted to know if you guys were going to peer squad. So top 1 through 10 in squad 1 type deal.
Good question. We haven't.
Dominic.
We're still working through the details. Dom, I don't know if you want to weigh in also, but we did discuss, we know with the USPRA qualifiers, there's a desire to have people competing for the US team to be together. So we did talk about ways to do that. But I'll let Dom weigh in on how we're going to approach it for nationals.
Sure. So remember the point of NRL 22, it's a family oriented, friends oriented type of sport. So what we did initially last year was we did peer squad everybody, but at that point we left it open for anybody to hop the squad, so that they can spend time with their families. Cause I mean, there's lots of invites that are going to go out where you got husband and wife, boyfriend, girlfriend, or husband and wife and their kids, or, you know, mom and son or daughter. And, you know, just, it's going to be a whole family dynamic. And a lot of times those top shooters, they will be peer squad, but they're going to want to shoot with their family and friends. So myself, Levi, Justin, and Ruth, we're still going to dig a little deeper in exactly how we're going to execute this for nationals. And, you know, everybody will be made aware of how exactly that's going to go down. So as of right now, it's yes and no.
Fair enough. Justin, I heard you were also going to use a certain target that didn't have a target failure in your last big match.
Yeah. So, Ruth and I and Jason Anderson, we started selling targets this past year. And we're going to be using those exclusively throughout the match. And we're just going to go ahead and tempt fate right now and say there will be zero target failures at this match. Not a single
jinxed it.
Nothing's going to move. Nothing's going to fall off. Nothing's going to break. It's going to be like the exact same targets at the beginning of the match as at the end of the match.
That's awesome.
I think you just volunteered to run out, like physically run and change any
sport. Oh, he will. He'll be running if there is one. Trust after that. Yeah. So he did this at our ultra match last year. But we have like 120 people at that one. So it was another long day situation. And he said, "We're not gonna have any target failures." And I was like, "Shut up! Don't do that."
No, I'm just trying to. This is just R&D. We're just trying to find the failure points. I want them to break, right?
So he was right. We didn't have any target failures, and I was happy. But it's just.
You know, I'm glad you said it. I like hearing that Justin's right.
We have, I know he was right in this case. He was right. And we've not heard yet from the people who purchased the targets that there's been a target failure. So with any luck, we'll keep that streak going.
So is the dunk take still going to be there on Sunday?
No.
It's coming back if there's a target.
You guys to rent this stuff.
That would be cool. It costs
money.
I was just saying, that could be the gamble. If there's a target failure, you end up in the dunk tank.
Oh!
Okay, we're doing it.
Or we could just do Gatorade coolers.
There you go.
That works.
Deal.
So a couple more lives here. Back on the swatting, will air rifles be swatted together?
Again, with squatting, I mean, when it comes to anything dealing with, you know, squatting top shooters as well as divisions and classifications, that's something we're still going to deep dive a little bit. I know last year when we did it, we had, you know, we had some praises about it and we had some complaints about it. So we'll further discuss that.
Cool. Yeah. I think that's it on lives.
There was a couple of questions, people asking how should they be on the lookout for these invites coming? Is it a box smoke signal?
They're going to come directly in your email that is tied to your membership. So whatever email you use to sign up for your membership, the invite will come directly from NRL22 to your email.
And I think one other one asked about invites, and I'm assuming this is just for, you know, standard NRL22. Are the invites based off of your overall position, your division, your classification, or is it just one list from the top to the bottom?
By division. Each division has a specified number of invites that will be invited. It's based on that, according to the rules, that the invites will be proportioned according to the amount of participation throughout the season. And, you know, I've been monitoring for the last month or two, and on the X side, we've got about, you know, about 66% of the field is open, followed by, you know, base, young guns, and ladies are both all right about, well, even old guns are about 7, 8, and 9%. So the biggest chunk's going to open, but the young guns, the base, the ladies, all of them will get plenty of invites on both the X side and the NRL22 side. So I saw that there was another question that I glanced as well about, because this is the first year that there will actually be a series for both the NRL22 monthlies and the X side. You know, the X side this past year, we actually had a series champion that won, you know, where your series points were brought in and added on to the championship match. Well, this season, the same thing will be occurring with the NRL22 side as well. So if you've been out there only chasing X matches, well, you have a chance to win the X series. But if you've been chasing NRL22 matches and NRL22 X matches, and you're doing well in both series, you have a potential of winning both series. So it doesn't matter where you accept your invite, whether it be from the X side or the NRL22 side, you will be eligible for both series that you have points in. However, the division that you accept that you are invited for, you do have to shoot that division. So you can't be shooting open all year long and then decide that you're going to, you know, go shoot base or air rifle. If you want to be in base or be an air rifle, then you need to, you know, put in the work and earn that invite throughout the season by competing in that division throughout the season to earn that invite. So the invites will be based on division, but you have to shoot. You cannot shoot a different division than what you accepted your invite for.
And I just want to mention something going on over in the comments, and I'm sure people watching us live now saw, but Darren was asking if there's any more range officers needed or help running the match. And Ruth and Justin have a wait list for ROing because they already have 60 volunteers.
Yeah, it's okay. So just huge shout out to our community, right? Because we didn't even really advertise this. We first posted just in the local Minnesota group, hey, we're hosting nationals, you know, here's the RO sign up, because we wanted to make sure we had a core of people who were local, you know, they weren't going to have any major issues that were going to prevent them from being able to support the match, right? No, last minute, my car broke down, I can't make it kind of thing. And then organically people started reaching out. So I'd send them the link, send them the link. And then we just ended up with, I think we are at 66 people at one point in time on the list. So, you know, we actually emailed people and said, okay, if you can't make it all 4 days, we're going to prioritize people who can be there all 4 days. So you guys be super nice to these ROs. They're giving up, you know, 2 full days of work. They're going to be out there 4 days straight for you guys. And, you know, I'd take more volunteers if I could afford to feed them and hold them and things. But at this point I was like, we're going to have to get more sponsorship just to pay for the range officers' food. So, you know, it's a pretty cool problem to have. So a huge shout out to all the people volunteering. It's makes our job so much easier, and we could not pull something like this off without the community that supports us.
Yeah. Could you just kind of expand on how much the ROs make your match experience?
Yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, why are the ROs there, right? So I guess safety, you got to list safety first, right? They're going to make sure that everyone's following the safety rules. But the biggest thing for like a big match like this, right, we want it to be a fair competition. So every shooter that shoots this match needs to be treated exactly the same. And the only way to do that is to have people at every stage that are running that stage consistently. So right. That's kind of our big belief, is that, you know, the best match is gonna have ROs. And, you know, not only that, they can also, other than enforcing safety and enforcing, you know, following the rules, they can enforce having fun too. So if you're a shooter that's not having fun, you know, they can break the whip out and get a smile back on your face. But yeah, yeah, I mean, that's like, so Ruth and I, what we like to do is before the match, we have all the ROs, you know, come the day before. We kind of do like a 2 or 3 hour classroom type session. We go through like the safety rules. We go through, you know, all the little nuances of like, what do you do when a shooter is shooting out of order on targets, and how to handle all these things so that it's consistent, how to handle match flow, like things like holding, we have our ROs like hold the tablet right next to the shooter. When the RO says time, unload and show clear, the shooter looks over and their scores right there, and the shooter hits approve. So just little things like that to keep things
going. Yeah.
And then, yeah, the incentives that we have found work pretty well is, you know, one is, you know, letting them shoot the match. That's pretty cool. They get a shot at the prize table when they do that. So, you know, a little bit more work on the match director's side, getting more prizes, but that way they feel like they're part of the match. Also, you know, a lot of them are, like I said before, they're either new, so it gives them a chance to shoot, or they're experienced. So we do trophies for the ROs for the RO match as well. Mm-hmm. It's a practice score squatted match. So
yeah.
It's gonna be a legit match this year too, with 60 people, plus we have some vendors who, you know, have people who wanted to shoot, and I said they can come shoot as many people as you want to shoot the match can. They just have to be there Thursday to shoot with the range officers. So we might have like 80 people shooting this match.
Oh, that's a super cool deal.
Yeah. It's going to have its own little banquet. Yeah. So ceremony
that,
and everything.
That Thursday for them, that's a full day. That's like a classroom in the morning, and then like a 10 or 12 stage match, and then their dinner and awards banquet.
Yeah.
So that way they're all taken care of. And then Friday can be kind of like a leisurely day slash, you know, work a little bit to kind of run the Friday fun day thing. And then, yeah, Saturday, Sunday are full days of work.
Yep. So be nice to them, please.
But yeah. And then the last part is like, we keep them fed, and then we just tell them that we appreciate them, and we really do. And we just tell them that, you know, they're super important to the match. They, you know, if it weren't for them, the match can't be as good as it is. So.
Mm-hmm. Oh, definitely. I mean, if you feed someone tacos and tell them they're pretty, that goes a long way, right, Greg?
It works for me every time.
Or you just want.
I'm sorry, buddy.
So guys, we're about at the midpoint of the show. Remember, if you're watching us live on Facebook, ask any questions you may have in the comment section of this video. We'll ask it live on air, and we are doing the best we can to keep up with you guys. Y'all are really chatty tonight. Other ways to catch us, you can always check back on the Shooter Mindset Facebook page. The videos stay up there forever, and we usually upload to all the podcast apps tonight after the show, as well as our YouTube channel. So next, do you guys
think... That's a great question. I'm sorry, Ken asked in the comments if anyone comes shoot.
And that would be Ken Wheeler, the owner of the PRS.
I'm just saying, we're still taking on sponsors. So Ken, if you want to come shoot with the ROs, you know.
There you go.
The PRS sponsors the stage.
That would be awesome.
Why not?
Like the PRS
stage. Hey, property. They could buy a commercial on the Shooter's Mindset coverage.
There you go. There you go. There you go. Let's start. Can we talk about that for a second?
Sure.
Sure.
We will be there.
Or we will be square.
What will you guys be doing?
I'm going to be messing with Starlinks and saying bad words and running cables and wires and...
So, yeah, me and Damien, my husband, who did all the producing, and Greg will all be at the Nationals, and we will do coverage just like we did in Italy, where we will have Greg and I will both have camera setups, and Damien will be in control of who's on the camera. So if he comes to me at an embarrassing moment, just know he's going to pay for it later. And he has to go home. No, but we'll be there doing live coverage like we did in Italy. And at the AG Cup, we will try and go live in the morning and stay live the whole day and give some live scores throughout the day as we can. But we do have commercial slots. If anyone wants to do that, it'll be live streamed on both Facebook and YouTube. As long as Meta doesn't crash. And that footage will stay on there forever. Like, you can go back now if you're like, oh, what was this Italy thing they keep talking about? I want to see how Ruth did. Or, you can go back and watch some of that footage. So it'll stay up there forever. But, yeah, that's what we'll be doing, trying to get it to where those of you at home can kind of watch it and keep up with what's going on and who's leading and trying to make it exciting.
And then also, we're also
welcoming spectators, just for those who are concerned about, come on up, Corey.
So I can make it there.
There is a practice score sign up for spectators who would like to eat and participate in the events. So if you want to, enjoy the Saturday barbecue with everyone, and then you'll also get lunches included with that, and you can participate in the banquet. I need you to sign up so that I know how many people are coming and I know how much food to order. So that's fine.
Did you just tell Corey that the kegs and stuff at the night are an event?
Yeah.
Like, okay.
Come on up and spectate. Sign up on Practice Score.
There's a Bobby doesn't think it's a competition.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Well, we could make it one. No, we can figure that out.
I'm an athlete. I don't drink.
Okay.
He's going to be pounding rip your floats at the banquet. Just watch.
Yes, ma'am.
What about extra kiddos tagging along?
Yes. So Friday, we're trying to make very kid-friendly. So Justin won the argument over whether or not we should also get a bounce house. So he's very excited about that.
What's the big one?
I haven't figured it out yet, but there is one.
We'll get the big one.
Okay.
You know what? The weight limit's whatever you want if you're willing to write the deposit checks. That's all I'm saying.
It was only like $100 more for the big one.
We'll yeah. That. Okay. So anyway, so we are gonna try and make this like a really family friendly event. So bring the kids with. Obviously, we're gonna have some roped off sections for spectators. For kids who are not, young guns actually participating in the match, we're gonna ask that they stay behind that along with the other spectators just to make sure that the shooters have adequate space. This is going to be on a clays course, so it's a little bit different layout than maybe some other ranges that you're used to. So
y'all worked so hard at this. I know. Gosh, I can't even remember. I think we started talking about it in Italy. I mean, that was back in August, and y'all might have been talking about it before that. So y'all worked so hard and you have so many cool things. What do you think is like, if you had to pick one thing that's going to make it like the most awesome, fun match ever, what would be your, what's your most favorite thing that you're doing?
So hard to pick
It's
one.
got to be the Friday party.
Yeah,
It's
I
gonna
think
be,
it's.
I mean, there's gonna be music playing the whole time. How can you beat that? There's gonna be beer on Friday too. We forgot to mention that.
Oh, yes, for purchase, just to be clear. No one has
After
been,
you're done shooting.
unless Ken, you want to pull out the checkbook for Friday, Friday cake.
So it'll either be the Friday party with there should be a ton of vendors there, or it'll be the stages themselves. So they will all be Midwest themed.
Yes.
So I don't know if you guys know Mitch and Amy Tromberg. They're helping us out big time. So Mitch is they're match directors as well, and they do a super good job with their matches. And Mitch is making a bunch of the props that we'll be shooting off of, and they will be themed props. So it's probably gonna be pretty dang cool.
It's gonna be, if you guys have seen any pictures of our themed matches before, you'll know the lengths to which we will go for a theme. So it should be a good time.
You need to have a stage where you have to shoot from a saddle. That would be hysterical.
I've done that at a match before, believe it or not.
Might do something like that.
Yeah, I've seen that before.
That would be funny. Have like a fake horse's head that you gotta shoot off of.
We were looking at cow, maybe.
Like a live one?
Them dairy
Yeah, shoot off the back of a live cow. I mean, it's like cow tipping, but different.
Yeah, yep. We'll take that under consideration for sure.
So, and then a little bit more about that. You guys said that we work really hard at this. Well, we have a lot of help too. So there's probably a good, 5 or 10 people local to us that are helping us out. I mean, we just broke off little tasks here and there, and they've done an awesome job of helping with, like getting food trucks scheduled and arranging for the catering. And so it's starting to feel like a lot less, scary. Like this thing's going to be awesome. And there's kind of like, unless the weather's bad, that's the only thing we can't control, but
Yeah, there were lots of questions about the weather in the comments. So what, you guys being from the area, I'm in Georgia. I have no clue what it's like up there. What would be like average weather during this match? What should I expect?
80s, mid 80s.
it's a beautiful time of year. Like everything's greened up finally,
But
and
if we keep saying things like that, it's gonna snow because we've had such a mild winter. Just it could theoretically be like, 50 degrees and rainy. Or it could be up over a, last year I think it was over 100 degrees at that, or 2 years ago or something like that. So really it does vary, but on average, mid 80s, sunny, beautiful.
70s, 80s.
In the middle of the day, right?
Yes. Yeah, but the
In
peak.
2019, I was like tired of shooting like in 100 degree weather, and I wanted to fly to a match. And so like each year I would pick a match that I would fly to just to go see a different part of the country. So I was like, oh, I'll go shoot this match in Wisconsin because it'll be cool there in July. It'll be nice. Like it won't be 500 degrees with 100% humidity like Georgia and South Carolina are. So I went up there and guess what? It was like 105 degrees and me and Swanee almost died.
Humid,
Yeah.
probably.
That's
Hey,
funny.
is y'all's range in the Driftless region? Sorry, I don't know the geography very well.
I don't know what that is. So you know the geography better than I do.
Oh, okay. I don't know. I went up there last year and it was beautiful. It was
You
all
went to
like
what region?
hills and
Yeah,
the
it's
Driftless region.
yeah,
Like
I'm not sure.
just on the border with Minnesota.
I think we might
Yeah.
be a little bit north of it. The match will be a little north of that, but I'm not
Okay.
positive.
Within like, so there's this area called Taylor's Falls. It's like 40 minutes, maybe 30, 40 minutes from the range, and it's absolutely beautiful hiking, river, waterfalls, boulders, hills, cliffs, that kind of stuff. So there's a ton of stuff. And then one of the ROs, Hannah, I see she's on here too. She put together a map of things to do in the area and little dots. So if you wanted to make this a family vacation, I think it would be a good opportunity if you're coming up for the match to just you know, take a couple extra days with the family and grab an Airbnb, go stay on a lake, check out the trails. It's a beautiful time of year to be around here.
10 out of 10 as a Texan, I did that trip last year in like late June, and it was gorgeous. It was one of the most beautiful places on earth.
Yeah.
That's awesome. I was going to mention that. And I think you posted that over on the events page, right?
It is. It is posted on the events page. So if you want updates about this event, go RSVP on Facebook, either say going or interested, and then you should be able to continue to get updates on you know, the new things that we're posting. Keep up with the sponsors, please, people, give them a shout out, because we could not do what we're doing if it weren't for them. So, you know, keeping everybody happy and full and fed is going to be brought to you by several amazing sponsors. So please give them love.
So the link to that event page is in the description of the Facebook video, and hopefully I remember to put it in the YouTube and the podcast links if you're listening or watching there. But if not, go on Facebook, and it's called the 2024 NRL 22 National Championship. You should be able to look up that event and see it there. So what would your guys' opinion be on whether or not a good national championship match can make or break a series?
Break a series, man, it would have to be something really, really, really egregious for something to break a series. But I mean, could it be a bad match? Yeah, sure. But I don't think it's going to break a series. I think the community, the match directors, those are the ones that, you know, make the series possible. It's not necessarily one singular event. I mean, yeah, there's probably going to be, a good amount of talk and some disdain for, you know, maybe the organization or the people that are hosting that said event. But I don't think it will break a series whatsoever from a national championship match. Will it make it? We'll see with what Ruth and Justin do. But no, I'm just kidding. I've attended their X match before. Me and Levi both have. And I will tell you this, a lot of people will say like, oh man, that was a great match, right? After they attend an NRL 22X match or a local match. I like to judge everything based off of an event. And Ruth and Justin put on an amazing event. It's not just a good course of fire. It's not just good food. It's not just having dedicated ROs. All those are culminating pieces to make a phenomenal event. And when we have match directors that do that for national championship, for NRL 22X, and sometimes you'll see that for NRL 22 monthly matches, that's what makes the series, and that's what makes the series grow. And not just that, but having competitors and match directors be so inviting. I say this to every person that I've ever encountered. I have never seen so many helpful and generous people in the NRL 22 community that I have seen in any other shooting discipline. If you are a brand new shooter and you're listening and you attend these matches, I've seen it where, you know, somebody's like, hey, can I borrow your bag? And the next thing you know, you have these experienced competitors and be like, here, borrow this bag, borrow this pump pillow. And the next thing you know, this new competitor is like, now I got five bags in my hand. Which one do I got to use? I've been to an X match where we had a guy, his entire rifle went down. Somebody went to their truck, got their voodoo out, said, here's some ammo. And they shot the remainder of the match with that person's rifle and their ammo. So no, to answer your question, I don't think a singular match will break a series, but a phenomenal event will absolutely grow this sport tremendously solely because of match directors and our community.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure, that, you know, it could definitely help build it. And, you know, the more, you know, I remember the first time my little local region, we sent one person to nationals 2 years ago because it was a bit of a drive. And then last year it was 4 hours from us, so we sent a bunch of people, and then all those bunch of people came back and talking to the new shooters, and they got interested in, oh, what does it take to qualify for that? I'm gonna push really hard for that. So it's definitely something to, you know, help kind of grow the sport, get people more interested, more involved, more than just, hey, this is what I do one Saturday a month. Shane asked about championship trophies. Are they going to divisions, classes, or both?
Both.
Maybe a bit of both.
Yep. Me and Levi, we're actually, so DM targets will be the trophies again this year.
Nice.
Seth and Shayna, they do a phenomenal job with their trophies. So that's who we're going to be going with again. Me and Levi, we are going to be looking at, you know, based off participation, how deep exactly we're going to be going in division as well as classifications. And we really want to, you know, not just recognize classifications, but we definitely also want to recognize our classification folks, you know, the ones that are, you know, hit that novice, marksman, sharpshooter, expert, not just based off division.
Very cool. Very cool. So there's many different ways that you could bring home some hardware from this match, which is kind of cool. You don't have to just go and win the whole thing.
Right.
Also doing some, and by we, I mean, Justin and I are doing some extra special match director fun, not prizes, with awards. We're doing some awards. So if you have a match director that you would like to nominate for an award, message me and we'll make that happen.
Hi guys, I'm a match director, just saying.
Greg, I likely to self-promote.
Yeah, Greg's not very humble, is he?
All I said is I'm a match director. I didn't say that I served the best barbecue at my match, at any match in Southeast.
So you're also going to serve barbecue on Saturday at the match then?
I'm going to need a bigger smoker. My match is like 25 people. Oh, where were we? So where do you guys see 22s as they pertain to the shooting in both the U.S. and abroad?
I guess abroad, things like the IPRF World Championship, the fact that we got to go this year helped open my eyes to the way this sport is developing in other countries, which I think is pretty cool. I think Rimfire specifically gives a lot more flexibility, so more people can participate in the sport and, you know, develop the precision rifle, you know, at different venues. So I think we're going to see an increase in growth. I mean, this year we received a ton of people asking from international, like even 9 months ago, like, hey, I'd like to book my tickets to the US. Do you know if I'm going to be able to get an invite? And I'm like, dude, the season just started yesterday. So I and also it's not up to us. So, you know, I think things like that are pretty cool. I know Canada just really started taking off with the NRL 22 side of things. So on the international scale, I see things growing pretty rapidly. It's kind of like it was in the U.S. 2 or 3 years ago, is how it's the feeling that I get from some of the international locations right now.
And like, cool. Like this range that we're going to have this match at, I mean, the longest shot's like 300 yards. So it just, the place wouldn't work for a center fire match. So from that standpoint, you know, 22 is going to be a better fit in most places, right? And if you have a really good center fire facility like you guys do down in Texas, you know, you can still have a 22 match there. So there's a lot of things about 22 that are just super scalable and lower, you know, barriers to entry, and they're not loud, and there's just a lot of things like that.
Yeah, the United States. Yeah, oh, go ahead, Levi. Go ahead.
Yeah, I was going to say, and I think that people getting into the sport can have more longevity with it just because, I mean, we all know how fun center fire is, but we also know the expense that goes along with it too. And I think that the Rimfire is a lot more affordable on an ongoing basis for a lot of folks to remain in year after year and you know, month after month, week after week.
Yeah, I agree. And then, you know, the sport, the growth of this sport just in 22, you know, precision shooting in general, it's taken off like a wildfire just this year. I mean, it's growing every single year. I mean, memberships just for NRL 22 have grown exponentially compared to the last 2 to 3 years. And because, you know, I don't necessarily think it's, you know, people transitioning from center fire. I think it's just a good alternative for practice for center fire. You know, a lot of the fundamentals and play a part in center fire as well as they do in rim fire. I think the sport is just going to continue to grow as we progress.
Yep.
Yep, I agree. And it was so cool when we were over in Italy and kind of, like Ruth said, seeing them getting into it as a new sport, kind of looking back a couple of years when I got into it. And it's cool seeing the different demographics of people that you get into the sport as well, where it's so much easier to take your 8-year-old that, you know, he's real good at shooting soda cans in the backyard and, you know, teaching him a little bit more and getting him out there. You know, you could do that with center fire, but that's going to be a challenge, and finding the right gun, the right weight and everything like this. You know, you can give young kids a carbon barreled B14R that they can pick up like this and they're good to go.
I think it's really fun watching some of the countries that were in that match. The sport's very new to their countries. You know, they're just starting it. So some of the people, it was like, you know, first couple of matches, and I've really enjoyed, I Facebook friended some of them. And so watching them now, and they are like growing and taking classes and getting better. And some of them are coming over to the US and shooting matches. And it's been so fun to see that and how that's grown.
Yep. And targets are a lot smaller, right? So a lot lower barrier to entry to be a new match director.
Truth.
Well, and the cost for the shooter is less too, so it's a little easier.
Yep.
At the beginning, yep. And it becomes 10 grand pretty quick, but
yeah. I remember years ago, I used to shoot just, you know, I think I built like a little custom 1022. I think it cost me like $1,200. And I was like, man, that's a lot of money for a complete, you know, 1022. And I used to see, you know, that's when Voodoo first started popping up. And I saw people spending, you know, $6,000-$7,000 on a Voodoo, including their glass. And I was like, you are on something if you are spending that much money on a freaking 22. And well, I think I've owned 5 of them now. So owned. Don't own them right now. I've owned 5 of them.
Okay.
I currently own 2 Voodoos. So yeah, if Dominic 4 or 5 years ago would see me now, I don't know what he would do.
Yeah. I'm still shooting my first NRL 22 rifle. It just looks drastically different, as you can see behind me, from my $600 457 with a $400 scope on it. Now there's a $400 bipod and a probably $600 on the scope mount.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah. It's very easy to let it get out of control.
I slipped and fell.
It's a bit of an addiction, I know. Do we have any more lives?
I wish I could see how many live comments we have on this. I can't when I get
147, out. Greg. 147.
I want to say, there was one thing that came in that I saw. Shane Douglas mentioned that this will be the first year that he didn't get enough scores to qualify. And I just want to emphasize something Dom said earlier about how there's still a ton of like 15 X matches left. I think you mentioned, Dom, some of them are 2-day matches that are going to count for 2 different scores. So you can go shoot one weekend, get a score for Saturday, and then get a separate score for Sunday. So that's 2 out of the 3 that you need, including one in Minnesota that we may or may not be at. That we may or may not recommend, called the Polar Vortex. That one's going to be one of the last ones. So you can go out and shoot 1 or 2 other matches, plan to show up for that weekend, and then make sure that you get your 3 scores in. Nice. Lots of matches left.
Yep, 12 so far, I think, is what the actual number is. I was guessing last time, but it's 12 remain, and there's 6 of them on the final weekend of the season. I think there's 3 double headers.
All right. Yeah. So plenty of time left. Get out there. Rimfire Revival just sold out at 135 people. So I heard that Boyd Linder might open up some extra spots if people contact him directly and tell him that he needs to, though. So just throwing that out there, too.
So everyone call Boyd and Facebook message him. What other live questions are there?
I think we're good on the live side. There was one request for a recreation of the Justin holding Ruth photo.
So Lapua had this contest for your favorite range buddy, and there's a picture. It was a legitimate candid photo. Justin and I were talking about a stage at Nationals a couple years ago, and his binos are like up here for me, and he's like, here, I'm gonna pick you up for just like 30 seconds, okay, and then you can look at the targets. So he lifts me up and I'm looking through his binos, and someone snapped a picture of us. So yeah, that's a good one.
That was great.
Recreate it. We'll recreate it at Nationals this year, Matt.
That is hilarious. Although I feel like lowering the binos might have been the easier choice.
No, it was pointed right at the target.
If you know Justin, how particular he is about where he puts his binoculars.
It was a little window right through the trees. Couldn't move it.
You missed Justin trying to adjust the tripod that he's sitting in front of before the show. So he wasn't going to move it again once it got set.
That's hilarious.
Yeah. After watching that, I do understand why he did that now. Yeah. I don't know the answer to this. Is the Apply Ballistics trailer going to be at the event?
No. Not this year. That I'm aware of, unless you guys have been talking to him.
I don't know. Somebody asked, and I know there were some place I was excited about, but I couldn't remember where it was.
Grand Junction.
Or yeah, that's where I'm going to
say. Championship. Yeah.
All right. I think we're good on the live side.
All right. Well, I think we can wind it down to shout outs. There's a lot of us. We will start with Corey.
All right. I'm going to shout out Brian at Hunters HD Gold. Big supporter of the shooting sports. So love the guy. Shout out Brian.
Awesome. Greg, what you got?
I'm going to kind of steal what you normally say, but I want to, but listen, for a different reason, not for the spending an hour of your time with us, but I wanted to shout out all four of our guests for everything that they do for our sport. Each and every one of them dedicates hours and hours and hours a week to either answering questions straight from the rule book online at 3 a.m., magically making scores appear on the website, like instantly, you know, building targets that are going to have matches running better, you know, making videos and just everything you guys all do. And then of course, you know, you guys have been working on this match since before, you know, last year's championships. So without the four of you guys, our sport would not be what it is. So I just wanted to thank you guys for that.
Appreciate it.
Thanks, Greg.
Yeah, thank you.
All right. How about Levi?
Well, mine's going to be similar to Greg's, except I wanted to shout out to the community and the folks that continually go out, you know, week after week and attend the matches and the match directors that put these matches on. And that's a big component of NRL 22. That's really what got me in this mess to begin with, is NRL 22 tries to make it real easy for a match director to step up and be able to host a match every month. And so we do what we can to help them out, but you can't do everything. So thank your match directors after you shoot your matches, you know, thank them for the event, thank them for doing what they do. You think it's just showing up and putting up targets, but it's a lot more to it than that. And we do what we can at NRL 22 to help them out, but they still do a lot in the background that you guys don't even realize happens. So shout out to the competitors and the match directors of the NRL 22 community.
Awesome. Dom, what you got?
Well, it's kind of hard to, you know, follow that from Levi, considering he just said everything I was going to say.
I know. Don't you hate when people steal your shout outs?
Yeah, weird. yeah, honestly, I mean, my biggest shout outs are, you know, it's to my family. Without them being able to deal with, you know, everything that I do for the organization, all the hours of answering, you know, emails and Facebook messages and hosting matches and going to matches. My wife is very tolerable of that. But the biggest shout out as well is, you know, like Levi said, is to the match directors as well as the competitors. A lot of competitors, they, you know, they just show up to a match, they shoot the match, they enjoy themselves, and they go on their merry way. But, you know, there's a lot of things that go on in the background to make these matches possible. So NRL22 community, please thank your match directors and their support staff, because without them, the entire series would not be possible, as well as with you. So thank you for taking the time during your weekends, spending them away from your family or sometimes with your family at these matches. So thank you, thank you, thank you.
Awesome. Ruth and Justin.
Go for it.
So I just want to shout out for sure our sponsors that are helping us out financially to make this match happen. Bushnell, Curtis Custom, Bergara, MCS have all stepped forward. So I just want to say a special shout out to them. We're going to be posting more sponsor related stuff on the site. If you guys can love them up, that would be huge. It's really expensive to put things on at the scale that Justin and I like to do them, you know, with bounce houses and dunk tanks and things. So if it weren't for these guys stepping up, you know, you guys wouldn't be getting quite as much Justin and Ruth fun in your day. So just, you know, shout out to them. That's a big deal. It's very, very difficult right now. There's a lot of different people asking for stuff all the time. So, you know, for people to come out and support at all is really helpful, especially when it comes to financial stuff. So it's really meaningful to us and much, much appreciated.
Yeah, I want to give a shout out to everybody that will be helping with the event. There's going to be so many people. There's going to be so many people that don't get credit for what they're going to deserve. So, I mean, you know, Mitch and Amy Tromberg, you guys are awesome. And all the ROs that'll be there, I'm looking forward to it.
My crew of ladies that's helping me book all the food and the thank you cards and all that fun stuff.
Teresa and Hannah. Mm-hmm.
So many people.
Yeah. And Ruth, shout out to you, because you are nuts on this prize table. She has put so many hours in so far. Everybody's going to be going home with a prize. It's going to be awesome.
Everybody will go home with a prize. That is the goal.
So thank you, sponsors, for that. We'll do the best that we can to make sure that you get the credit you deserve as well.
That's awesome. Well, and for my shout outs, I did want to shout y'all out, even if Greg stole it. But because all of y'all do a lot for the sport, I see how much work goes into it. You know, in talking with Ruth and Justin and at SHOT Show, everything they were doing to try and get things lined up. So it's awesome. And, you know, trying to get that national championship straight. And then I know Dom and Levi all year long are just hammering at it and trying to make it a really great league for everyone and really grow the sport. So thank you for that and kudos for that. And we want to thank you for spending a couple of hours with us on Tuesday night so that all of our guests can ask questions and get all the good info. And if anyone joined us late, there is a link that's going to be in the description of the video and you can click on that, and it has a ton of information about the national championship. And then if somebody just, you know, this is their first time seeing anything about NRL22, because maybe they're a pistol shooter or something, what's the website if they want information just on NRL?
If they want information on NRL, they go to nrl22.org. If they want to know how to shoot a course of fire, Jeremy and Bevan Walker do a phenomenal job every month in doing a course of fire walkthrough. You can subscribe to their channel on YouTube. It's 22 Lima Romeo. Big shout out to those two and their family for making those walkthroughs possible and extremely thorough. So thank you guys.
Awesome. All right. So check out NRL 22 if you don't already shoot it. If you do, go shoot enough matches to be able to qualify for the most awesome national championship. That's going to be June 21st through the 23rd. Yes.
Pretty good.
Go by memory. So anyway, everybody try and get to that. It's going to be awesome. We'll have the coverage of it. I'm sure we'll talk about it, you know, a little closer time. We may do another drum up info or something about it. You'll be hearing us. So, and with that, it'll be a wrap for episode 435, I think.
Got it.
Yeah. That's a wrap for episode 435, and we will see everybody next time.